May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week was Pentecost, and I think we had a great time here. Would anyone agree with that? Anyone who was here? Yeah. We read the story of the little brute family, a family that made porridge made of sticks and stones. And they fought with each other. And in the summer, they made heavy kites that they dragged along the ground. Then one day, baby brute found a wandering, lost good feeling that transformed their lives. It's a children's story, but one with a deep and profound meaning about the Holy Spirit. The Sunday following Pentecost is celebrated as Trinity Sunday, and I'll come back to that word celebrate later. I was listening to a podcast for preachers that gives reflections on the readings. They began by saying that this is the Sunday when all preachers hope that they will be sick. Well, I'm not sick. In fact, I'm disgustingly healthy. I have no way out but to tackle the Trinity. The Trinity is central to our faith. At Easter, when we had two baptisms, we said the Creed. It's an ancient way of stating our faith going back to the very early church. As you cast your minds back, you'll remember that I asked you three questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And you all replied. You did. Often the person doing the final blessing of a service of worship will bless people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the uniting church, our foundational document is the basis of union. This formed the uniting church from the Methodist, Presbyterian and Congregationalist churches. It's a long time ago, 1977. And we're going to celebrate that anniversary next month. Sadly, I'm going to be away, but I hope that that service goes really well. And I really would encourage people at Living Water, if you're able to be part of that. Now, in the basis of union, the people who put it together prayed that this act of coming together might be for the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's right at the beginning of who we are as the Uniting Church. Through the years, Christians have tried to explain the Trinity. A clover with three leaves is a single clover, but it's made up of different components. Now, a rope, like this one, is made up of three strands, but it's one rope. If anyone wants this rope afterwards, just let me know. I said to Jeff, buy me about a foot of rope, and he bought 3 metres. So I don't know what we're going to do with it. Anyone who wants it can have it. You can talk about love, a lover and loving, or a dance, a dancer, and dancing. Now, some of you will know that Jeff and I have been to Iceland, the land of fire and ice. And up there high in the mountains, you'll find springs of water. And the spring of water gushes up and it comes down the hill where it forms a river. And then it comes to a cliff and it becomes a waterfall. It's the same water, but it's the spring, a river, and a waterfall. Now, some of you might find these images helpful, but really, for the most part, they're difficult and confusing. So I want to go beyond us just thinking about the Trinity today and smell the Trinity. And it's really interesting that we had that song about fragrance. And as soon as I heard that, I was taken back to a Baptist church in Melbourne that we used to attend from time to time. And at the beginning of the service, a retired Uniting Church minister who used to worship there regularly used to incense the congregation, and he would have the the duvaliki with the incense in, and he would incense whoever was preaching, he would incense the people, he would incense the Bible, and he would incense the icons that were around the church, so that God is present in all of those. And as we smelt the incense, we would become very aware of the presence of God. A sense of smell comes from the deepest part of the brain. A particular aroma can instantly transport us back decades to another time and place. Does anyone have examples of a particular perfume, a cooking smell, or a flower that reminds you of long ago? Does anyone have something like that? Rose and lavender reminds Michelle of her grandmother. Anyone else? Yeah, my grandmother used to use that cologne, the 4711. Eau de Cologne, yeah. And and that reminds me of her. It's not very fashionable now, but I think it was many years ago. Anybody else have... Used to cook what? Endive. Yeah? Yeah?
I knew I had a cook memory problem.
You knew you had what?
A good meal.
A good meal. Yay. Yes. Yes, yes. So it's lovely if you're going somewhere for a meal and you can smell the food. We went to the Nepalese festival at the waterfront last night, and they had all these food stalls, and the smell was just extraordinary, very different from the type of food that I often cook. Yeah, so, I knew a man who had been in New Guinea during the war, and he said that... And I'm talking about in the early 2000s, so it was a long time after the end of the war. He said that sometimes he would wake in the night in terror and he could smell the jungle and smell death. And then when his wife died, about 3 weeks after, he said he woke in the night and smelled her perfume. It was an amazing story that for him it was smell, that reminder of someone who has died. It was a beautiful story. So thank you, everyone who shared stories there. Now, this helps us to understand what we mean by the word celebrate. A celebration is much more than balloons, blowies, and burnt sausages. From its origins, we find that it means to return to and savour. So the word savour strongly suggests a sense of smell. Surely that's what we are doing when we celebrate something like an anniversary or a birthday. We are returning to the original event and spending time recalling it fondly and probably recalling other great times since as well. You know, you talk about to people about a wedding day, or how did your family celebrate Christmas? And what sorts of things did you do for your 21st birthday? And people remember those things because those things are really special. And people can return and remember and enjoy those memories, hopefully. Not always. They're not always good events. And we remember other good times as well since then. So today, as we're celebrating the Trinity in our lives, to what can we return so that we can savour, relish, and delight in the Trinity? Naturally, one of our first sources is Scripture. The Bible gives us a wonderful array of images of God. So it was interesting being with the youth group on Friday night. They're looking at the two stories of creation. They're very different images of God. Each of them teaches us something different about God, and that's really exciting. We have God the Creator, the one Jesus related to as Father, but there is more. I feel like Tim Shaw from Dentel. There's more. And some of these images suggest the Trinity. The Trinity is a much later theological understanding, but we can see the roots of it. We can see the basis of it in Scripture. The second verse of the Bible tells us of the wind of God brooding over the waters of creation in preparation for God's first creative act, the creation of life. And the word for spirit in Hebrew is feminine. The Bible begins with a hint of God in community. There's a song from Iona that uses that image. She sits like a bird brooding on the water, hovering on the chaos of the world's first day. She sighs and she sings, mothering creation, waiting to give birth to all the word will say. It's so beautiful, telling us of the Spirit of God being far beyond anything that we can imagine or grasp. The image of wind or breath is also used in the second story of creation. God formed the man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This is another beautiful image of the Spirit of God that is within us, giving us life, and that is as close as our next breath. In our reading today, God says, and it's interesting that the song from the St. Louis Jesuits didn't pick this up, God says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" It's very subtle. It's really interesting, that use of the word us. Another pointer towards God as community. Proverbs 8 tells us about Lady Wisdom, who worked alongside God in creation. When God established the heavens, I was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, I was beside God like a master worker. John's Gospel begins by telling us about the pre-existence of Jesus, the Word of God, through whom all things came into being. It's beautiful poetry. Jesus, the Word of God, was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. Another source of our reflection and our savouring is to turn to our own experience. At different times in our lives, we may experience God in different ways. Perhaps it's a powerful sense of the creativity, the life-giving, the guidance of the Father. Perhaps it is a sense of Jesus as Saviour, forgiving us and leading us to a better way. Perhaps it's the inspiration, comfort, and fellowship that the Spirit brings. Note that I'm just giving some examples rather than trying to define the action of each person of the Trinity. So let us take some time now to recall moments or times in our lives when we have been more aware of our relationship with the Father, the Son, or the Spirit. Another way we experience the Trinity is in our worship. We gather as the children of God, as forgiven sinners, as a fellowship in the unity of the Spirit. The diversity and unity of the Trinity is the source and inspiration for our acceptance of our differences as we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A celebration is more than a journey backwards. It affirms our sense of belonging. For example, a birthday affirms that person and their place in their family or their community. An anniversary affirms the couple or the community who are celebrating with them. It gives hope for the future. So our relationship with the Trinity is not an intellectual exercise of putting these three bits into their right order and which way do they go. The Trinity is a mystery to be lived, to be explored, and to be celebrated, to be smelled, devoured, and lovingly recalled. As we celebrate the Trinity, it is more than just our affirmation of our relationship with the three persons in one God. It is an openness to God's celebration and affirmation of us, individually and as a community. So let us go forward in that hope. Amen.